When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Among us, and sometimes they win. Even the devil was an angel once. The world has its own rules, and these rules are not human. Some of us seek answers to the origin and existence of cryptids and the unexplained. Join us as we venture beyond the known and accepted boundaries. Welcome to our nightmare. I think you're going to like it.
Hey folks, good evening and welcome to Phantoms and Monsters Radio. Thanks for joining me. I want to welcome all new members to the channel, as well as first timers in the chat. And if you're listening to me for the first time, please like and subscribe to the channel. Now, this episode will contain a few of the more bizarre and outrageous reports that I've received over the past 40 plus years. There's a lot of them. That's almost, you're talking about maybe 9,600 reports that I've posted on the blog over that period of time, which is, I'm going in my 18th year. So, yeah, there's a lot. Every so often I will set aside an exceptional account to include in a weirdest of the weird compilation, which I will then present to the listeners and viewers. So please comment on this episode and tell me what you think about the presentation. Offer suggestions, forward your encounters to me. As I've stated since I started the blog 19 years ago, you are my audience and you are Phantoms and Monsters. So before I go any further, I want to mention that this channel is made possible by you clicking on the subscribe and like buttons. And by you sharing our programming, Super Chat and Super Thanks donations are appreciated. You can click the dollar icon located below the chat box, and the Buy Me a Coffee link is also shown below as well. So thanks for your consideration. Now, if you're in the chat and have a question, please use all caps. I'll try to get to each one after my presentation. So I do want to state one more thing. I'm actually thinking about adding a compilation paranormal news update post to the blog, either each day or maybe a few days a week. I'm debating whether I want to do it on YouTube. I don't know if I want to do it yet or not. But, you know, I used to post a daily update with the regular accounts, with the regular reports years ago, but I kind of got away from it. Because it seemed like everybody was doing it, but now it seems that fewer website and blogs are currently doing it. So maybe I need to offer one. So if it's worth the effort, I may do it, but I need some feedback. So if you do have a comment, put it in the show notes, show comments, and let me know what you think. So this is going to be the first installment of the Weirdest of the Weird. I do plan to, like I said, set aside some of the more crazy ones and present it to y'all every couple months or so. So this first account A North Carolina woman recalls her encounter with a wolfman while visiting her grandfather in Cleveland County, North Carolina, as a young girl. So she states, "Hi, Mr. Strickler. I really have enjoyed your Phantoms and Monsters ebooks and blog over the last few years. I just finished the most recent book, which had several dog and wolf humanoid encounters. I like reading about these encounters because it makes me feel better to know that there are others out there who have had encounters with something that they just can't explain. I decided that I would send you my weirdest story, which happened to me as a child. I have seen and felt strange things since then, but this encounter was both the strangest that I've ever had. It's ever happened to me, and I believe a catalyst to other unusual things in my life and an interest in them. So several years ago, I sent this encounter to another well-known researcher, but I never heard back. And I'm not surprised that it is odd and seems made up, but it did happen. What it was, I have no idea. So when I was a little girl, my pawpaw lived in an old farmhouse in the upper end of Cleveland County, North Carolina. We used to go visit him every Saturday. My dad, my mom, my baby brother, and I, along with usually several of my dad's brothers, his sister, and their assorted children, would congregate after lunch at Pawpaw's. Our cousins would play together outside and out in the woods, which ran behind Pawpaw's farm and stretched for probably 10 miles to a dirt road, beyond which was an apple orchard and a cattle pasture. This was the early 80s in a rural area, back when kids could take off to the woods for hours and it was okay. We would all have dinner together and then hang out until bedtime for us kids, and we'd all head home. So at the time, I had just turned 8. My cousin Jay was 6. My brother and Jay's sister were both small toddlers, barely walking. The night in question, Jay and I and our little siblings were the only kids present at Pawpaw's. He and I had spent the day playing in the woods as usual and out in the yard where Jay was trying out his prized new skateboard. Now, after supper, we hung out in the back bedroom watching TV until our parents informed us that it was time to go home. So Pawpaw's house had a glassed-in porch, which also served as a laundry room on the front, right outside the kitchen. Now this porch, because of the way the lot was laid out and the house was built, was tall, and looking out the window, it gave you a panoramic and slightly elevated view of the backyard. I would speculate that the porch windows were about 20 feet off the ground and the backyard sloped away from the porch. The backyard was lit by two large lights, one which was mounted on a pole to the left of the yard, and the other was mounted on the side of Pawpaw's shop, which was to the right. They were very bright, and each light lit up a large area. The only shadowy part of the backyard was the area where the large tree stood, casting a shadow that fell between the shop and the greenhouse, which was to the far left of the yard. It was under this tree that Jay and had left his skateboard when we stopped playing to eat supper, and he and I decided we'd go out to get it while our parents were still saying their goodbyes in the kitchen. The wolfman was in the backyard. We saw him at the same time as soon as we entered the porch. He was man-sized, and he looked exactly like a werewolf in a bad B-movie. He had a shaggy, dark brown wolfman head with long pointed ears and a lighter brown muzzle. His hands were human-like as best as I can remember, though they were covered in dark fur and he had long claws. He was wearing a red and black checked flannel shirt and blue jeans. Now, I don't remember anything about his feet, whether he had shoes or claws, but his legs were straight like a human's, not bent backward like a dog. He was walking back and forth in the yard, almost robot-like, as if he were on a track. Now, I can't really describe it well. It was like his legs were moving a little, but not enough to count as walking. It was more like he was gliding, but in a jerky way. Now, his body was human in proportion. He would move from the edge of the light near the greenhouse across to the light near the shop, stopping when he reached the end of the illuminated area and turned around in a strange, jerky way and gliding back. His eyes were red and glowed a little, like one of those laser lights that you use to tease cats, that color and about the level brightness. The only time he was out of our sight was when he passed into the shadowed area of the tree. Now, he seemed to be showing off for us, wanting us to see him, or at least that was the way it felt. The feeling that he carried with me was of overwhelming malevolence. I felt like he knew we were there and could see us watching and felt that we were afraid and that he was glad. Not sure if that makes sense, but it was what I felt at the time, dread and fear, and like he was aware of us and doing what he was doing on the purpose to scare us. Now, of course, we freaked out and started screaming for our parents. And of course, once they all rushed out onto the porch, only to hear us hysterical because the Wolfman was in the backyard, they said the usual parent things about overreaction, imaginations, and too much Scooby-Doo. Because even though he was there walking back and forth right in front of them, we could both see him, but none of the adults could. I remember pointing and saying, "It's out there," and being fully frustrated because they couldn't see it. Finally, my dad, determined to put an end to the nonsense, announced that he was going to go out into the yard and get Jay's skateboard from under the tree. We tried to stop him, but he went anyway. At that time, the Wolfman was still doing his strange gliding walk back and forth. And when my dad opened the porch door and hit the steps that led from the porch to the yard, he triggered the motion sensor light, which was in the corner of the porch awning, lighting up the shadowed tree area. Just before this happened, the Wolfman had stepped into that shadowed area and disappeared into the dark. When the light came on, lighting up the tree area, and the Wolfman was just gone. It was as if he had just vanished into thin air, as they say. We never saw him again. But we became mildly obsessed with werewolves for a while after that and started hoarding silver in case we needed to make silver bullets. Now, when you're a child, it is amazing what you can consider normal. We were scared at the time it happened, but it's like afterward, it didn't feel completely real. Because it was so bizarre, and we sort of made a game out of it. A few weird things happened to us in the woods after that, but nothing that could be considered paranormal beyond doubt, and nothing like seeing the Wolfman. So years passed, but I always wondered about what we saw that night. Now, my cousin Jay forgot about it altogether, and I asked him about it just a few months ago, and he didn't remember it at all. What really brought it back to memory was a story in Linda Godfrey's Real Wolfman about a girl who saw a hitchhiking werewolf wearing clothes. But that I'd never seen a serious report of a canine or a lupin humanoid wearing clothes in any publication. I don't often tell anyone about the Wolfman we saw because it sounds so completely crazy. Of course, my parents and Jay's parents never for one second believed we saw anything. I don't fully know the history of the land around Pawpaws, and I know that there are lots of Catawba Indians in the area before colonial times, and that there were several strange formations in that part of the country that people claim were Indian mounds, though none of them seem to be officially recognized as such. Now, there have been several Bigfoot flaps in that county as well, and there are Black Panthers there also. I have seen both Black and Tan Panthers, as has my father and many hunters we know, though they are not, in my opinion, anything supernatural, just regular animals. I have no idea to this day what it was we saw in that backyard. I find it hard to believe that it was a werewolf, but I feel like it was something paranormal. Seeing it caused me to have a lifelong interest in cryptozoology and 14 phenomena. I've thought a lot about it, and I sort of feel like John Keel was right when he suggested that there was something out there that messes with us just because it can. Like maybe something that wanted to be scary and knew that the stereotypical werewolf would frighten some little kids. I've even wondered if it could have been someone dressed in a costume playing a prank. But that wouldn't explain the weird gliding, unnatural way it moved, or the way it was able to disappear as fast, or in fact that apparently five adults couldn't see it, even though the two kids could. Just thought this might interest you because of the novelty. It sounds so out there and frankly made up that I doubt anyone would believe it anyway. I have told maybe four people my entire life about it, including my ex-husband who didn't believe me. I have never even mentioned it to my current husband because it's just too so weird. I would, however, be interested to know if anyone else out there has experienced anything similar, either a wolfman type form dressed in clothing or something that was felt that they felt was something pretending to be something that really was not for whatever reason. I feel strong that it was what happened. I appreciate you taking the time to read this and have enjoyed your work. Good luck with your research. Now, I have received so-called werewolf sightings like lycanthropy sightings and such in the past. That's probably the weirdest one I've ever got. Because not only does it possibly demonstrate a cryptid being, but possibly some supernatural aspects to it as well. So take it for what it is. This next account is also a little weird, which is what we're doing tonight. First and foremost, this one goes in the especially bizarre category. Now, I received this email from a witness in West Central Arkansas. I followed up with the witness by telephone and email, adding details to the original account. Now, I tried to keep the narration as original as possible. I honestly don't know what to make of this sighting, so I'm just going to present it as is and as it was explained to me. Now, the witness states, I found you on the internet and needed an explanation of something I saw last October while bow hunting. I lived just east of Little Rock and make my way to Sebastian County when the season opens. There's a man who owns a farm with woods who I've known for many years. So he lets me come on his land to hunt. He told me a while back that he doesn't like to go into the woods anymore because there were people seeing too many weird things. I never saw anything weird until the last time I was there. Now, when I got to his house that morning, we talked over coffee. Then I made my way towards the woods. I guess it was in the low 60s and clear. It had rained for a few days, which made me happy because the wet ground in the woods would make less noise when walking. I took the usual trail along the edge until I reached the ridge where I would take cover in the rocks. Now, as I got near the rocks, I saw something moving on the ground. I stopped walking and stood there about 40 foot away. It was an injured deer moving around, but it just didn't look right. The legs weren't kicking and the head was still. The body was sliding away from me. I stepped into the woods and walked nearer to an angle so I could see what was going on. And as I moved closer, I quickly froze. At first, I thought it was a huge snake dragging the deer. But as my eyes adjusted to the low light, I don't think my brain wanted to believe what my eyes were seeing. I needed a better look, so I slowly moved closer and then crouched down behind a pair of rocks. I'll swear on the good book, it looked like a giant centipede. It was dark-colored and thick, maybe compared to a stovepipe. It was sidewinding back and forth as it pulled the deer along. So it was hard to tell how long it really was. I guess that it measured 10 foot or more. There must have been 100 legs on that thing. The body had segments all along its length. It was pulling the deer by the hindquarters and tail. I know I sound crazy, but I watched it for a good while. I followed it down the ridge into the hollow. It didn't stop moving until it reached the pile of rocks as it tried to pull the carcass over it. It let go of the deer and raised up. I'll never forget the eyes as they looked my way. It laid down on the deer and watched me. That was enough because I didn't want to mess with it. If I had a gun, I may have taken a shot at it, but it wasn't sure that what an arrow would do. I didn't have my cell phone with me. I slowly backed away, then turned and quickly walked back towards the farmhouse. Now, I didn't mention anything to the farmer other than I wasn't feeling well and needed to go home. I haven't been back since, but I do want to go back soon and see if there's a trace of it. I haven't told a single person what I saw, but I will because I want some backup when I go back into the woods. Now, you asked me for a sketch or photo, but I really couldn't find anything to come to it. What was real weird, the body was rounder and thicker in comparison. I give you my permission to use my story, but don't give out my name and phone number. As I told you before, if I find anything else, I'll let you know right away. Thanks for getting back to me. Now, as I mentioned before, I don't know what to make of the story, but if I had not talked to the witness, I probably would have stuck that one in the file. But he convinced me that he observed something out of the ordinary, and I have heard a few weird ones over the year, and that's one of them, but he did sound convincing. So he was very sincere, and he did tell me, no, this has been a few years ago, that if he did see any evidence of it, he would get back to me. So far, nothing. So this next account, two girlfriends were jogging at Lake Carasaugio in New Jersey when they encountered a 4-foot-long, creepy-looking troll that was sitting on a small wooden chest along the pathway. Now, this is an encounter my girlfriend and her friend had a few years ago, not mine personally. I've heard her tell this story a few times before, but after recently hearing them together describe what they saw, I thought maybe you would enjoy it. Maybe someone has seen something similar. This encounter happened in Lakewood, New Jersey, a few years back. It was midday, sometime in September. My girlfriend and her friend used to jog together regularly at local parks. The park they were at on that day was called Lake Carasaugio, which butts up to a housing development. The trail they were on loops around the lake, and 3/4 of the trail is basically just normal paved sidewalk that follows a road, but eventually turns to dirt, and through a small wooded area on the far side of the lake, the other quarter of the mile of the trail. Mind you, now this place is far from being remote. It's in New Jersey, after all. So while jogging through the wooded part of the trail, they came upon a creepy humanoid-looking figure on the edge of the trail that stopped them both in their tracks. They both kept referring to this thing as troll-like. It was short, maybe 4 foot tall at most. It was dressed in a long black hooded cloak, hunched over, sitting on a wooden chest. Yes, the wooden chest. Exactly the kind of thing you'd imagine a troll to be sitting on. It said that they could not see any face at all because its head was directed at the ground and the hood was too long. But what they did notice was the cloak was short enough to see part of its legs and was wearing what looked like regular flesh-colored stockings and had very small club feet. Its legs were large protruding boils or tumor-like lumps on the exposed area. It was wearing blue gloves as well. Now, terrified, they eventually made their way past this thing, coming only a few feet from it, hoping it wouldn't jump out at them. They got the hell out of there faster than they ever went before. It didn't say anything or try to cause them any harm. It just sat there hunched over. They thought at first that maybe it was just a mannequin or something someone put there as a joke, but they noticed hand movement right before they passed it. They have never gone back to the lake ever again. And every time my girlfriend talks about this encounter, I can hear the fear in her trembling voice and is obviously somewhat traumatized by the encounter. Even though I geek out about these type of stories all the time, she has absolutely zero interest in any of these type of things. So She'll roll her eyes or shake her head and tell me I'm crazy when I tell her about a cool story of Bigfoot or aliens or whatever when I read about it, trying to pique some interest in her as these type of subject, you know, on these type of subjects. However, she continues to want nothing to do with it. I'm a very open-minded person when it comes to this stuff. I can't say I believe in everything because I never had a convincing encounter, aside from hearing a few strange sounds in the woods that I couldn't explain. I always ask myself, is it possible creatures, aliens, Bigfoot exist? The answer is usually yes, but then again, someone just playing a prank to mess with people is extremely more logical, especially in a place like New Jersey. So this next account, after a night of cattle mutilations, a rancher decides to guard the herd. Now, during an abduction attempt, an alien being is killed and then preserved in a jar. But whatever happened to the specimen? So the individual or the witness contacted and said, "Hi, Lon. In 1986, my dad and his sister owned a cattle ranch in northern Puerto Rico. One morning, after finding several heads of cattle mutilated under strange circumstances, Dad decided to guard the ranch during the night, armed with a rifle, along with myself, and I was 15 at the time, and two of his friends. A few nights later, we noticed a movement about 100 meters east of us. There were five short grayish beings with very large heads emerging from the ravine and approaching the cattle. The beings quickly entered one of the pens and proceeded to float the cat out. The floating calf was very close to the ground, and the beings walked alongside it in a shuffling manner. Now, at that point, Dad and his friends began firing at the creature. One of the beings seemed to be hit and fell to the ground, shrieking loudly. The calf also fell to the ground while the other beings assisted the wounded companion, who was writhing in obvious pain. Now, the men fired again at the beings, who then ran quickly into the woods, leaving the injured being behind. The wounded one attempted to run away, but was shot in the back by my dad's friend. He lay silently on the ground, dying. My dad then struck it on the head with the rifle butt, caving in the top of the head. It died very shortly. Now, pictures of the dead alien being were taken and hidden away. My dad preserved the body in a large jar filled with alcohol and formaldehyde. He stored it in the cellar of our home and told me to never mention it to my mother and siblings. I remember seeing it several more times after the incident. Now, in 1999, my dad suddenly passed away. His friends think he was killed by the being since he disappeared for several days before his burnt body was found in a remote area. I do feel that my dad's death was related to the beings we witnessed that strange night. Now, the body of the being is supposedly being kept by one of my dad's friends who fears the local and U.S. authorities would somehow prosecute him for his involvement in killing it. Now, I now live in Texas, and honestly, I hope I never see that body again, though I do believe it should be disclosed that it does exist. Now, this next account, I actually had somebody ask me about this. I think they remembered reading it a couple of years ago, so I decided to go ahead and put it into this presentation. A Houston, Texas man, relates a strange encounter that he had with a Bigfoot at Buffalo Bayou in 1979. This incident is probably one of the most unusual Bigfoot encounters that has ever been told to me. Now, I received a very interesting telephone call from the 68-year-old Houston man named R.C., and he says that he encountered a Bigfoot in Buffalo Bayou in 1979 while he was looking for driving directions. Now, I heard a few interesting Bigfoot encounters at Buffalo Bayou previously, but this is by far the strangest. Now, Buffalo Bayou is a park area, and it's basically a river. But it's right in the city. It's pretty well known, but there have been Bigfoot accounts mentioned in the area previously and since. Now, RC states that he was at his new girlfriend's place until 4 o'clock a.m. one morning. Apparently, he didn't know the area that well since he had just moved to Houston. Somehow, he got lost and ended up in Buffalo Bayou Park area. He pulled off the road, hoping that he could find someone to give him directions. He knew that he needed to get back on Allen Parkway to drive home. Now, as he sat in his car, he noticed someone walking to his left near to the water. He got out of his car and called out to the individual. This person stopped and looked over their shoulder. Now, as RC walked closer, he figured that this person was a transient. But he did realize, even though there was very little available light, that this person was quite tall and big. RC got within 10 foot or so from the individual, who stood still and watched RC approach. RC then realized that something wasn't right. The hair on this person was very long and extended down to its chest, and the rest of the body was completely covered in hair. RC immediately told this person, "Never mind," and quickly turned and ran to the car. RC got back into his car, hoping that this person had not followed or chased after him. He quickly glanced back and saw that this individual was still standing in the same spot and looking at him. RC started his car and drove off. As he was driving, he was trying to figure out what he had just encountered. At that time, he never thought much about Bigfoot, let alone seeing one in a city like Houston. The next day, he called his brother, who told RC that he may have had a Bigfoot encounter. Apparently, his brother was aware of other sites in the Buffalo Bayou area. So several years ago, I had talked to another Houston man who had been gar fishing in Buffalo Bayou. It was late afternoon, and he was along the shore. As he sat there, he heard something approaching him from behind. He looked and was stunned to see 6 foot tall, dark brown Bigfoot standing about 30 foot away from him. The man slowly stood up and faced the Bigfoot. This was not the first time he had seen a similar creature at the bayou. Bigfoot stood still but continued to look at him. After several seconds, the fisherman removed one of the gar on his stringer and placed it on the ground. He gathered his gear and walked away. As he glanced back, he saw the Bigfoot pick up the fish, run downstream towards the trees. And I will tell you, that is not the only account of someone giving a Bigfoot on Buffalo Bayou, because I've had a couple people tell me that they had the same thing happen to them. So I don't know what is going on there, but I do know there have been a lot of sightings in that park. Now, this next account, a young man living in Pendleton, Oregon, observes a bizarre deer in the field across from his friend's house. He has the upper body of a man with long black hair wearing a black leather jacket. Now, I got this account from Colin Cam over Expanded Perspectives. Now, the witness states, this incident takes place in the summer of 2001. I had just graduated from Pendleton High School in Pendleton, Oregon. It's evening time at my friend Eddie's house. His parents are out of town, so we're unwinding a bit. Eddie's house was in the rice division of Pendleton, Oregon, adjacent to a large field. It's not uncommon to see wildlife, especially deer. Now, I step onto Eddie's front porch to have a cigarette. I'm standing on the porch and looking across the street towards an empty lot full of weeds and seeing a deer. Now, at first, it appears like any other deer I've seen, four legs and a bushy white tail. As I look up towards the torso, I notice it's very different. The top half of the deer was man. You can see its chest, arms, and head. He had long black hair and was wearing what looked like a black leather jacket. Now, I stared at this creature for a long time. It never noticed me on the porch. Drag after drag of my cigarettes, I stare at it, not blinking. It's probably only a couple minutes, feels like a lifetime. The creature never moves, and it's just staring off into the distance. I turn around and open Eddie's front door and yell inside, "Hey, Eddie, come check this out." Eddie says, coming. I turn back towards the creature, and it was gone. Eddie steps outside and says, what's up? I just say, never mind. We both go inside. Eddie asked me what I saw, and I say, I thought I saw something, but I guess not. And I never told Eddie what I saw. So a few days later, I'm at work. I work in a produce department in a local grocery store. I step outside to have a cigarette, and one of our regular customers, a Native American man, is outside drinking a can of beer. I stop to talk to him. I tell him what I saw a few nights before, and he says to me, that's a spirit, a shapeshifter, skinwalker, the Wendigo. I was like, oh, wow, okay, thanks. Then he says to me, stay away from it if you ever see it again. A few people told me the story over the years. Mostly just laughs and accusations of being stoned. Before this incident, I've never heard of or seen anything like it. It's been 21 years since it happened, but feels like yesterday in my mind. Now, this next account's somewhat short, but I've looked into it, and I can't find anything about it. But I'm going to tell you anyway, so see what you think. Because a woman recalls her encounter with a possible mermaid in Karachi, Pakistan aquarium when she was a teen. It's about 2 foot long with human female's face on the underside. So this is what she told me. My grandmother often narrates a story from 1965 when she visited the Karachi Aquarium in Pakistan with her family near Clifton Beach. She was 14 years old then, but her memory of the extremely strange fish sighting is quite vivid to this day. She recalls having seen a fish 1.5 to 2 foot long and dull gray in color. When it was swimming in the tank, it looked like any other fish, like some salmon perhaps. However, when it stood still in a vertical position, what my grandmother saw was quite strange. The eyes and mouth of this fish were placed on the underside above the stomach and the tail, much like a stingray. Its face resembled that of a woman, like a realistic mermaid. Its eyes were elongated like almonds, and the lips were thin and shockingly bright red in color. The red of its lips contrasted with the gray of the body. The top of its head was comprised of fin-like structures shaped like a crown. The nose was high and pointed. He says its face was very beautiful and feminine and not creepy at all. Now, she has narrated this story innumerable times, and every single time we have found it very hard to believe on the basis that she was merely 14 then, and thus her perception of the mermaid fish can be subjected to either wild imagination or maybe faulty memory. The reason I chose to believe her story is because her brother accompanied her to the Karachi Aquarium confirms the mermaid sighting. Moreover, her brother happened to visit the aquarium again 10 years later and claimed he saw it once more. Now, I've tried to search for this type of fish on the internet, found pictures close to her description showing her, but she said the fish looked much different. This matter continues to linger in our minds. And I'll be honest with you, I have tried to look up as well. At the time I received this, I actually contacted someone in Karachi, someone who actually, I think, either worked there, and I forget, or it was a security or something. But they kind of acted like I was crazy. Their broken English didn't help me any, but I don't know what they saw. But it's pretty weird. So if you've got questions, I've got, this is the last account, so go ahead and put your questions up and I can answer them at the end. A teen boy and his sister are at a Wendy's restaurant in Trinidad, Colorado. They notice a strange family that seems so out of place. The woman then states mothership. They leave and suddenly disappear. The question asked, have you ever seen an alien being or an EBE? It was 1987 at a Wendy's restaurant in Trinidad, Colorado. I was 16. It was a we were on a family trip from Washington State driving to Texas. Crammed in the car are my grandparents, sister, my mom, and myself. It was not a fun ride, trust me. We stopped at Wendy's for lunch. It was packed. Luckily, there was not enough room for the five of us to sit together. And at 16, I was in the it was typical for that age mindset of get me away from these old people, and grabbed my sister and headed to the only other empty table left. Now, my mother ordered for all of us. This is well before cell phones, so two bored kids can't help but people watch. And what we saw and heard still freaks me out to this day. Now, our table is right next to approximately 3 foot from two adults and one child. He looked to be about 9 to 10 years old, maybe. I noticed right away something was off with these people. Now, my sister noticed it too. She kicked me under the table and raised her eyebrows in their direction. My eyes had already been on them. Sitting down, I began to closely observe them. Now, the two adults, the woman, had long hair and dressed rather plainly and had knee-high length light tan trench coat on, even though it was at least 85 degrees out and in August. She looked like she was maybe in her 40s or early 50s. The man looked similarly plain with short brown hair, no lower facial hair, and had on glasses that were way too big for his face. The kid appeared weirdly dressed, like clothes that were not typical for the 1980s, right out of a different era. Short, light brown hair. All three of them looked like they had never been in the sunshine their entire life. All of them had large eyes. I was close enough to see that they had brown eyes. Their eyes were strangely mesmerizing, but only from my vantage point of non-direct eye contact. I was staring, but they never once looked at me or my sister directly. They reminded me of what someone might look like after living in darkness for years, with no color in their face and pale-looking lips. I remember thinking at the time, who are these pasty-looking people? Now, in the middle of the table sat 7 or 8 hamburgers in their wrappers, 5 large fries and no drinks. And they weren't eating. Not one fry, not one bite. And how are they going to eat all that food without a drink? I was convinced they were clearly had to be vampires. I mean, right? I settled into that conclusion. They were bloodsuckers, and that's why they don't have drinks. And at 16, that's the best I could deduce. So my mom, by this time, had her food in hand and dropped it by our table. Now, I hadn't even noticed her until she was walking away. I took my drink and stared right at them while sipping it. They were out of place. Were they foreigners? Had they never eaten food before? No, they were clearly vampires. You don't mind being in light, so they must be mutant vampires. It was a good 10 minutes before the woman said out loud, "Do as they do. Unwrap the items and put them in your mouth. Blend in." The words "blend in" then changed my opinion to what they must be from a foreign country that just doesn't have fast food. Yeah, that's got to be it. I quickly tried to rationalize their strange behavior. As I was increasingly feeling very uncomfortable with where I was sitting and what I was seeing and hearing, I felt myself starting to feel out of place and started to feel unwell, as if I was viewing something I shouldn't and wasn't supposed to be looking at. It was one of the strangest feelings I've ever had in my life. After the woman spoke in imperfect English without any type of accent, I might add, all three of them at the exact time, with precise matching mannerisms, began to unwrap the corner of one hamburger, then suddenly stopped midway to unwrap and acted like they heard something we did not. Their heads tilted in unison and then paused for at least a few seconds. The woman said as clear as day, "We must go. The mothership is here. We must go now. We cannot miss it." I frantically looked around to see if anyone else was seeing or hearing this. No. Everyone was too busy eating their fries and drinking their Frosties. oblivious to any of this, as if none of it was happening. But I knew my sister had heard the exact same thing I did, and she frankly tapped the table to get my attention. I mouthed the words, "Stay right here, I'm getting Mom." As I stood up, I made eye contact with my mom, who was on the other side of the partition a few feet away. I waved my arms like a crazy person, signaling something was wrong. "Come here." And she jumped up just as the three people stood up without speaking and walked out of the Wendy's. I sounded like I was having a psychotic break as I tried to explain to her, "Those people, they're aliens." She said the mothership was here. "Look, Mom, they left all their food on the table." It was less than 30 seconds since they had gone out the front door. I grabbed my mom's arm and we ran outside. All three were rounding the corner of the building, so we hustled probably about 25 foot behind them. Except when we rounded the corner, they weren't there. No one was walking around, just cars driving in one direction. Turning the corner put us in the direction of oncoming traffic from their drive-through window. My mom was at a loss of words. She may not have heard what they said, but she saw them disappear into thin air and couldn't make no sense of it. So where did they go? Who were these people? What just happened? I don't know. I oddly looked towards the sky. Of course, I didn't see anything but sky. For years, I thought my mom thought I was crazy. My sister didn't want to ever talk about it again. We since have spoken of it, but not until we were both well into her 20s. The ride in that car all the way to Texas, no one spoke a word. My mom tried to explain all of it to my grandparents as we walked toward the car to leave. Neither of them had any of it. I don't know who they were or what they saw, but clearly they decided they were no longer hungry. And that was where the conversation ended. Now, I have had many strange experiences in my life, but this one is somewhere close to the top. I have contemplated over the years if they were actors. Did this kind of stuff was done for reaction? But no one else reacted at all. No one else even noticed them but us. I still don't know what to make of it. I don't. Some 34 years later, I still scarily hangs in my member like it was just yesterday. But folks, you got questions, please post them. I want to thank Wynn Nyes for her donation. Thank you. She says, great episode. I appreciate that. Anybody got any questions? I guess not. I don't see a thing. You all are chatting a lot, so I hope somebody's got a good story to send me about this. So if you got a good story, send it to me. But what I am going to do is I'm going to, when I do get some weird stories, I'm going to put them together. And we'll have another episode later down the road. And okay, Jose Sanchez. Maybe they were just close enough to them to notice. I guess that's an explanation. I don't know. It is pretty weird story, you know, and I, you know, it's funny. And I was thinking about this the other day. There seem to be a lot of supposed alien encounters at fast food places. I've heard a lot of stories of people being in the parking lot or kids being in the parking lot, sitting in their cars and see UFOs or weird people walking by or whatever. Peace. I want to thank you for your $20 super sticker. It's much appreciated. So I don't know. I don't know what they saw, but, it's pretty detailed. And, I think they saw something and it doesn't surprise me, but again, you know, I've been doing this for so long, very little that surprised anymore. But like I said, if anything weird does come up, I will definitely put it into the next show. Jose Sanchez said, our ass. Walmart has been a UFO hotspot before. Yeah, Walmart too. For whatever reason, there are a lot of UFO sightings in Walmart parking lots. I don't know because everybody has a Walmart or what the reason is, but it's pretty weird. A lot of weird people hang around Walmart too, as many of you know. So I don't know what that's all about. I guess aliens like discounted items. Anything else, folks? Well, I want to thank each and all of you for coming on tonight and for watching and chatting. If you donated, it's truly appreciated. Your support makes all this possible. Please like, subscribe, and share. And let's see here. B-Cab did put, is there one story that stands out as the weirdest? Oh, my God, I've had so many stories. You know, I have talked about a lot of them. You know, I think the weirdest stories to me are the ones that, you know, that I investigate personally. Because it seems as when you get into an account, it just gets weirder and weirder. Just look what's going on in Chicago. I mean, for those who have read the blog this week, in the past week or so, we've had three weird accounts come out of the Chicago area. Two of them, very supernatural, but definitely a winged humanoid. There's another one out of Indiana that Tobias and I have no idea what it is, but I am talking to the witness tomorrow. He decided we'll talk. Alexis Castain, what is your weirdest experience, Lon? Oh, I've had encounters. I've had two encounters which were weird. The Bigfoot, of course, and the winged humanoid I had in 1988. I've had a lot of paranormal experiences. I've done a lot of investigations in people's homes and in other remote viewing investigations and other out of the country doing remote work. Shane Powers, have you heard about the Lycan family in Magnum, Oklahoma? I have not heard that. So if you do have that, or you have any reference to it, send it to me at lawnstricklerfamsamonsters.com, please. Okay, well, if you do have a sighting report and would like to be considered for the personal report show or posted in the Fams and Monsters, to forward to my email again at lawnstricklerfamsamonsters.com. Dagnamit asks, what is your take on the lizard-like humanoids seen in the sewers of Anaheim, California? You know, I did a story about that years ago. No, I did a story about L.A. Anaheim, I guess what Anaheim is basically in the same area. I guess it's the same story. But I don't know what to make of it. But apparently they have been seen. I'll have to pull that story up. I haven't looked at that for almost a decade. It was a long time ago as well. Junie Shu, and could the Apple family, excuse me, the Apple Valley ones relate to the Anaheim reptoids? I don't know. I have no idea. I just know that there were apparently reptoids seen in LA in the sewers. So if it's related, maybe so. Unknown Uptown resident asked, do you think there's a difference between weird and strange? Not really. They're both unexplained. So just take it for what it is. Moondogs, thanks for your super sticker, $5. Much appreciated. Any other questions, folks? Okay. Well, anyway, I want to thank you all for coming in again. And until we meet next week, I don't know what we're going to talk about next week, but it will be strange and it will be something that I've been involved with or have been reported to me. So I will be there next Friday night and hope to see you there again. So you take care and have a great weekend. Good night.